Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the Alamo. Bonsai. Hoorah. Give me liberty or give me death. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what these are? Battle cries, and others like them, were meant to inspire fear in the hearts of the enemy and courage in the souls of the soldiers who cried them out. Such cries were often needed because of the strenuous situations in which those soldiers found themselves. The ominous threat of war or of battle on the horizon was enough to make any mighty man weak in the knees. So battle cries were belted out, as they have been in the past and will continue on in the future, to encourage, to motivate, to move the soldier past fear and on in bravery. We as Christians find ourselves in the same scenario. Once the waters of holy baptism touched down upon you, you were marked. Marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Marked then as the enemy of the devil. Before, you were one of his own trophies, as are all who are born dead in their trespasses and sins. As we confess in our own baptismal liturgy, we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Once that snatching away from the devil occurs, then the violent and various attacks against the Christian begin. St. Peter understood this very well, as he wrote to the churches in his first letter. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Great consolation, comfort, comes from knowing that we are not alone in this battle. Our Lord Jesus taught in the Beatitudes that all who follow after him would be persecuted for his name's sake. The early Christian church suffered greatly for the sake of Christ and for his name, as recorded in the book of Acts and in extra-biblical sources as well. They were able to persevere throughout those trials and throughout those tribulations by God's good grace. While the devil is seeking to devour even you, the Lord Jesus does not leave you alone. He does not leave you ill-prepared. He does not leave you unarmed. Our good and gracious God has graciously given us all things. As we confess in the first article of the Creed, clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that we need to support this body and this life. He then says, God sends his only Son to give us the forgiveness of sins that we so certainly need because we have rebelled against God and done so time and time again. Even though we have been marked with the seal of the cross, both upon our forehead and upon our heart in baptism, we daily sin much, and each time siding with our adversary, the devil. Spare us from this, dear Father in heaven, as Luther wrote. Thanks be to God that he is gracious, that he is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Almighty God knows you. And he knows that you are marked by him, sealed with him forever, by Christ's very own suffering and death. He knows your present situation in this world, all the struggles you face, all the difficult situations within your family, among your friends, in your occupation. He knows your temptations. He knows your weakness. He knows your identity in this world, as Simul Justus, Epicator, at the same time, saint and sinner. The battle for your soul is ongoing in this life. Satan continues to lob attack after attack against you, firing his flaming darts at you, through temptation after temptation. Naturally, with that verbiage comes the words of St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And in baptism, armor is given to you. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Fully clothed and suited up in the armor that Christ gives you in baptism, his own righteousness, you are now ready for the great battle cry of faith, the Lord's Prayer. Luther intentionally ordered the first three chief parts of the catechism in the way that we have learned it. The Ten Commandments first reveal to us God's law, that we are condemned in our sin. The Creed then illumines for us the gospel, Christ's own work of redemption for us by his suffering and death on the cross. The Lord's Prayer, then, the third chief part, serves as the ongoing tool, the weapon of the Christian, of you, in your battle against sin, against death, and against the devil. Not to mention the very battle of yourself against your own sinful nature. Now, each era of history has seen its own advancements in warfare. Swords, spears, bows, and arrows were replaced by muskets, gunpowder. Muskets were then replaced by rifles and then machine guns. Horses and chariots were replaced by jeeps and tanks. Battering rams gave way to rocket launchers. Add to that the rise of helicopters, jets, and battleships. You have quite the array of destruction-causing equipment. But that is what the Lord's Prayer can be for you as a Christian. The Lord Jesus has given it to you as your way of making your requests known to God. In more battle-like terms, the Lord's Prayer is your request to God to intervene to save, to call down, if you will, a monstrous airstrike against the devil himself. Now, you might think that a bit extreme, perhaps in the realm of exaggeration coming from a preacher. But Martin Luther would disagree. He once wrote, "At precisely the moment when you feel the strongest temptation and are least prepared to pray, go to a place where you can be alone. Pray the Lord's Prayer, or any other prayer you can think of to defend against the devil and his temptations. Then you will feel the temptation decrease, and Satan will run away." Likewise, Luther taught, you must learn to call on the Lord. Don't sit all alone or lie on the couch, shaking your head and letting your thoughts torture you. Don't worry about how to get out of your situation or brood about your terrible life, how miserable you feel, and what a bad person you are. Luther knew this from his own experience. Instead, say, get a grip on yourself, you lazy bum, his words. Fall on your knees. Raise your hands and eyes toward heaven. Read a psalm. Say the Lord's Prayer. And tearfully tell God what you need. Martin Luther loved the Lord's Prayer. He viewed it as the greatest weapon the Christian has in the fight against the devil in this world. So it's no wonder that he teaches in the Catechism that each Christian should begin and end his day reciting the Lord's Prayer, and should pray the Lord's Prayer before and after every meal. Do you know that? It's in the Catechism. You can check it out. Now, sure, you can say that it is too much, and doing so too much will make the Lord's Prayer less meaningful, and so you're not really paying attention anymore. And over our lifetimes, we've said that prayer thousands of times, and it is probably numb to some extent. But when you do pray that prayer and realize what is going on with those words, the Lord's Prayer is truly your battle cry of faith. It will inspire you with courage to face each day and every moment as the baptized child of God that you are. Secure in the robes of Christ's righteousness, you can pray his prayer at all times, trusting that the Father hears you for Jesus' sake. The art of living by faith is one that is rooted in the Word of God and in His church. It's not some abstract concept to ponder, too distant to really mean much at all. But it is meant to mold you and to shape you to better handle all of the ups and downs this sinful life brings. For this life, as the redeemed one that Christ has won for you, is rooted in Him, in His very Word. And He has already won the victory over sin, over death, and the devil. He has given you life and salvation in holy baptism. And He has strengthened you up as His soldier time and time again with His own body and blood. He has promised to be with you and to hear you when you pray in His name, and as He has taught you. The Lord's Prayer is your battle cry of faith, because it is truly the prayer of Jesus. And He graciously gives you all things to support this body and this life, to sustain you unto eternal life. How great it is, this life of faith in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is indeed our great Savior.